Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome to When Pigs Fly. And thank you for all you out there listening. And it's a really unusual week, huh? A lot of stuff happening. And unfortunately, to those in Japan who have been affected, my thoughts and prayers definitely go out to those who have been affected by the recent earthquake. That's a very trying experience with those going through that. Deep, very much of a tragedy, but you know, maybe out of every tragedy comes opportunity for us to heal and learn to love and to realize what's most important. Anyway, again, my thoughts and prayers go out to those who have been affected, and you know. Anyway, I also want to just make a couple of quick announcements. I have a very, very special show coming on. I have a very special guest, but before I do announce her, and you've probably all seen it, on talking about the quarterly analysis for what the stars say, what lays ahead. I want to let everybody know that, again, there are those out there in Australia and New Zealand, there's three major groups heading your way, some cool metal rockers from the United States. Quiet Riot, and you all know Come Hear the Noise and Warrant with Cherry Pie and LA Guns. They will be heading out to Australia and New Zealand in April and May, and they'll be playing in the Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, Canberra, and Auckland. So, and this is just give you the dates. You can go straight to checking out the website for more further information. At www.intense-impact.com. And just to let you know, they will be playing on Friday the 29th of April at the Palace in Melbourne, and then heading on to ACT, and they'll be playing at the Annual Bar on the 30th of April. That's on a Saturday. And then on Monday, heading across into Auckland, New Zealand, they'll be at the power station. And then Thursday on May 5th, they'll be in Adelaide at the HQ complex, and then swinging around to the other side of Australia to Perth, and be playing on May 6th on a Friday at Metro City, and swinging back to Brisbane on May 7th, Saturday, that's a Saturday, at the Tivoli. And finally, heading full circle back to the lovely city of Sydney on May 8th on a Sunday. And those tickets are moving very quickly, so get on them if you can. Again, that's at the Metro on May 8th. And tickets are on sale at TicketTech.com. And you can go directly there. But if you go to Intense, it also has a link that takes you straight to the tickets. And then there's also a phone number there, so if you need to call, you can call as well. And for those who are in the Auckland show, that is at ticketmaster.com/NZ. But there is also a link as well on the intenseimpact.com website. And for those out there, listen, next week I have a very, very, very special guest, Dr. Stephen Manley, a well-known physicist and professor. And he is author of the book called Visions of Multiverse. And I've been reading that just recently, and it's very, very unique. It cuts to the forefront of what quantum physics and what the relationship of our universe really is, or actually we say multiverse instead of universe. Now, I have an extremely special guest. I've had her several times on my show. Almost every time I have a quarterly, we just had her on for the Valentine's, but I tab her on every quarter because it seems to give us a roadmap, and I relayed this out too in my previous shows about understanding astrology. It's basically a guidance adherence, so it's nice to know what things are in front of us. It's nice to know that there will be a wall, and then there we can just use a door instead of running through the wall. It's nice to know that there's a street, and we don't have to get tangled in mud, or if there's a block ahead of that street, it's nice to know maybe we should use another street. So that's basically what astrology is. It allows us to give us choice. It just gives us the mode map of what our choices are in front of us. And there are certainly things that affect us, and I'm really feel honored to have her again. She has done another deep analysis of what is going to happen in the next 3 months, and she is also an intuitive as well as an astrologer, and I highly recommend her for getting readings. You can check her site at zodiabuzz.com. It has her contact information. I'm sure she'll reiterate that at the end of the show, but I highly, highly recommend her. You should check her out and even get a natal chart. She is very accurate, and I thank you, Carrie, for coming on my show. How are you doing, Carrie?
Good. Thank you for having me. I always, you know, get excited about doing this because there's so much exciting planetary energy going on right now. Just big, big shifts in the universe. It doesn't mean it's going to end, the world's going to end or anything like that. But when we hear about, you know, Nostradamus predictions and the end of the Mayan calendar, there's a lot of planetary activity out there that supports those notions. But I'm not one of those believers that think the world is going to end in 2012.
Well, I don't think it's going to end either. I think, that's in our here or there. It's not, I think that's just a little bit of revelations type of things. And, you know, life still goes on. It's going to just be different, I personally think. But, you know, speaking of, I know you're on your analysis, and I know everybody's going, well, you know, what's going on here? Because I know back in that fact last quarter, and you did analysis, and then in the summer you said, wow, wait till you see what's going to happen coming around April and during this time. And I highlighted that day because this show means this really significant as far as very unusual activity laying in front of us on your chart. So what did you basically come up with?
Well, first of all, this starts the, you know, we have the calendar new year, the Chinese new year, and with the spring solstice, we have the zodiacal new year beginning with the zero Aries point. And just a quick astrologer's note for people that are interested in astrology, the zero Aries point is the most crucial point in the whole zodiac. And it relates to zero Cancer, zero Libra, and zero Capricorn. Those are all the cardinal signs. And anytime you have planets within 5 degrees, of what I just mentioned, you're going to have major planetary activity. And for people that are interested in astrology or learning more about the zero Aries point, I strongly encourage you to research Uranian astrology and the 90-degree dial. It's a totally different type of astrology, but it's also very interesting. For our intents and purposes, the vernal equinox begins when the sun is at zero Aries, again, the start of the zodiac. And the crucial point, and what makes this really significant, is Uranus, the planet ruling earthquakes and explosions, is back at 0 degrees Aries. We saw it there last summer on the summer solstice. It dipped into Aries with Jupiter for a couple months. So some of the events now may be reminiscent of last summer's three-month period. But it's the very interesting thing is the day that Uranus left Pisces, the sign that rules oceans and water, among other things, and the day it moved into Aries was the day you had the great big earthquake in Japan, followed by the tsunamis and the subsequent explosions. So Uranus is not subtle energy. It comes quickly and often unexpectedly, and it's sitting right there on the zero Aries point, conjunct or right next to the sun.
Mm-hmm. How does that relate to, not to elaborate, how does that relate to, because now they're, after now the earthquake and the tsunami, now that the big issue now is they have some serious problems with their nuclear reactor, which is, you know, turning into like almost a three mile island incident, which could be catastrophic. Is that also part of that same, you know, system that you talked about within the Pisces and all that stuff leaving at the same time or whatever?
No, Uranus is expect the unexpected. It's out of Pisces for good now. Pisces ruling anything to do with gas, oils. We had the big oil spill last year when Uranus was tapering out of Pisces and into Aries on the last equinox. But bringing in the nuclear energy is an interesting point, Andy, because there's several planets in Aries which we refer to as a stellium. Jupiter has moved away from Uranus. They were together last summer. Jupiter's a little bit more away, but it's still, these planets are what we call in a square, a hard energy to the planet Pluto up in Capricorn, and Pluto rules nuclear energy. So there's a lot of things, different ways you can look at this, but on a really mundane level, yes, you're in direct conflict with nuclear energy, and this could definitely pose a problem with Uranus, earthquakes, explosions, the unexpected, the unstable, in a tough aspect to Pluto, nuclear energy, annihilation, and ultimately transformation and rebuilding out of the ashes. Another thing that makes it significant for us in this country is that the Aries stellium is in another square to the USA sun. The USA sun is in Cancer. Our sun sign is Cancer, so that puts our sun in the sign of Cancer in direct conflict with these Aries planets, Jupiter, expansion, Uranus, and the sun, and it puts it opposite Pluto. So you have what we call a T-square, and the ruler of our Cancer sun is the moon. And the moon in this chart, in the vernal equinox chart, sits right next to Saturn, ruling the sign of Capricorn, which is where Pluto is residing right now, and it forms a grand cross with all these other planets. So you have a lot of conflicting and challenging energy.
So it's like we're coming to major, like we've had, like seems like the last 5 years it's been mounting up to more and more increasing challenges, with, especially in regards to the United States. I know in the world too, at large. But is this because, so you're saying this is coming to more and more, it seems like a more increasing effect of the conflicts coming to in light in front of people, so the way they see things. I mean, it's becoming more of a reality of situations, especially in regards to the U.S. and very much so overseas, as we can see what's going on in the Middle East and actually worldwide. And you said in what's interesting, and I don't get in the aspects of it, but you said some things and aspects last summer that we'd have like a little taste of what it's going to be like for this time of year. And I remember back in the summer, there was some small little resistance and people want to become more, I guess, politically aggressive, almost like sort of like back in the 60s, opening up and challenging the systems. Not necessarily to, and there's going to be a resistance to it from the old school. And it seems like this is at large within around the world, because look what's happening in the Middle East. It's happening even into the Far East and here in the United States. Oh, and then also, I forgot, in the UK, they had, you know, the major demonstrations, even challenging the Queen of England herself right now. The challenges going on in Europe. It seems like worldwide. It seems like this is now becoming not just a U.S. phenomenon, but a worldwide phenomenon. Is this radical change? It's not really a total radical left. It's more like a challenge of the old guard. And in the U.S., it seems like we're just like, we haven't hit that. Well, more around the world, it's more like that.
Well, Aries is your pioneering sign, and Uranus is your maverick. So Uranus the maverick into the pioneering sign is radical change. And directly opposite is the planet Saturn. But what makes it even more personal or more prevalent at this time is that the moon falls there right next to Saturn. So around the world, you have this desire, this need for return. Moon Saturn would be family values, traditional ways, opposing this new change, but at the same time, it forms a trine, which is a really pleasant aspect to Venus and Neptune in the sign of Aquarius, which is the age of Aquarius, universal love. So you have this desire for change and coming together and peace and love and we are one, but this time they want it steeped in some sort of tradition or coming through some form of familiarity. And that is what, even though that is an, it complements the change, at the same time it opposes it. It's really hard to put into words because there's so many energies that are tied together in this chart. Some are conflicting, some are rosy, and the actual energy described by the planets is contradictory in and of itself. You have this strange dichotomy of wanting change, desiring new ways, desiring reform, but not wanting it to be too out there. It's wanting it to have something that we can draw from the past. And then at the same time, you have Pluto coming in and just disrupting everything. And the most notable way it's affecting us worldwide is through the economy, because it sits in the sign of Capricorn, which I think rules corporate America or corporate companies worldwide, big business, big money. Pluto's changing all that, and that's directly confronting the old guard and the new guard. So there's all these things going on in the world right now.
So you're saying like a simultaneous, it's almost like a simultaneous challenge to both in retrospect. You're saying there's like a challenge, obviously, to the old guard, but then at the same time you're saying there's a challenge to the new, lot of new thoughts or new ideas or the new guard, if you want to call it that. I don't call it the guard, the new guard, but is that basically what you're sort of saying in a synopsis kind of way?
In a nutshell, yes. You have the old guard versus the new age, you know, kind of at crosshairs, directly confronted by, you know, powerful forces that are really beyond everyone's control. Obviously, in hindsight, it's a situation we've created.
So
you know, especially when it comes to money and banks, but both sides will have to deal with that issue.
So in retrospect, and I'll just give a picture. I don't know if you're familiar with what's happened, like in Egypt. It's like being what happened to Mubarak, who was the old school for somewhat 4 years, was finally challenged and then got turned over. And now Egypt's finding itself with the new guard, where they don't even know what the hell to do because their country is basically up shit creek right now financially, you know, everything else. They're basically poor, you know, and they have all these people to feed, and they don't have a real economy, and now the new guard has a real problem that they themselves didn't realize they now put themselves into, and they don't even have a government yet. They have a provisional government. So they have, they're going through this, like, this is their challenge. So in the U.S. right now, the challenge is, it seems like it's going back and forth, where we have this old guard of maybe conservatism trying to resist, and I wouldn't even call it, because they're really not pretty much the same with Obama. And I think people in the United States are actually become in tune that they're both the same, and they're like feeling more and more frustrated.
Well, both those situations are kind of a metaphor for what's happening worldwide. It's just one very, it's small, well, I wouldn't say small, but one situation that represents the bigger picture. So it's happening in different places and different areas, but basically it's the same thing. So yeah, I'd say you nailed it with that comparison.
So it's just different. Depending on each area, it's happening in a different way in retrospect. Like one, like in this country, it's doing in a one way, and in another country, other areas, it's doing more right and more in the face kind of way. And then there's another thing that you brought up, which was pretty interesting. I remember last year you told that significant information would suddenly be leaked out during last summer. And now I'm thinking about what came out was, I remember WikiLeaks was significant last summer. Now I remember. And that was when and then there was even the Palestinian papers that got leaked out, showing that they, you know, they were not telling the people really what they really want. And WikiLeaks shows how things were really being manipulated and lied and actually all the personal things that were going to embarrass the United States, but all the people who thought was really in control aren't really in control as who you thought. So that came out, and is that sort of the same? Are we going to go through that same scenario where more things are going to be casually, you know, the shoe drops, as they say in the house, when people wake up and they go, well, here's some new information. Excuse me, what's happening, let's say, you know, that we're not aware of, you know. Maybe we'll find out, you know, maybe Obama has a girlfriend on the side, or I'm just being sarcastic, but something significant, actually, is going to, you know, information, because people, it seems like it more and more, but I'm asking you, is that sort of the same thing that we had that little glimpse in? It was around July, April, I believe, where you said that there was some significant thing we're going to have a taste of, and then coming this end, this end, it was going to happen again.
Well, that's interesting, because the major energy that's going on now is the Aries energy, and Aries is ruled by Mars. Mars in this chart sits in the 12th house in Pisces. Both energies are sort of hidden, and there's an element of deception around them. I would say they would be exposed eventually, like you said, but I don't think we're still going to have full disclosures. We'll know some things, but we won't have the full story on everything. Go ahead.
So you're saying like little morsels, little taste of information, but not the whole puzzle.
I don't know how it's going to play out. I wouldn't go that far with my prediction. I just say, yeah, hidden agendas very much have the potential to be exposed. But again, I don't think we're going to get the full disclosure. So even though we think we're getting maybe a big piece of the story, we're not getting all of it. That's what I'm saying. And it's interesting that you bring that up, because what's really relevant to this chart is the full moon that precedes it the night before at 28 degrees Virgo, because it ties in a lot of, again, Piscean and Neptunian energy, which can be deception or just clouding things. And it forms another grand cross in the chart, a mutable grand cross with the moon's nodes. The moon's nodes always make things very public. And the north node, which rules our fate and our destiny, falls in the sign of Sagittarius, which is foreign affairs, among other things. Religion, you're going to see religious issues come up, but also has to do with legal issues and education. It brings the south node directly into conflict with the south node, which is in the Gemini, which rules the media. So the media isn't really poised in its best place right now. It's in direct conflict to Mars, the ruler of Aries and the New Guard. It falls in a square to this moon. I think the media has the potential to injure itself, or, you know, not play the most positive role in currently what's going on. And I don't know if I'm expressing that right or saying that right.
It's basically in that, it would sound like maybe people are going to become aware of some disinformation that comes out, like that the media has not been genuine. And not just mainstream media. I'm finding out that now, this is sort of weird, that more people through the alternative media, like the blogs and stuff like that, and then other things that people thought, you know, more like so-called conspiracies, people are becoming aware that there's actually disingenuous information that's being put out there. And there's been now disinformation that we've been, you know, on one side, hey, you're telling us all the stuff that's really going on, but then they've added some, you know, sugar and spice, and then, you know, so we think they're telling the truth, and then more and more people are becoming aware that, wait a second, they're part of the same thing. And so it's like, and just little bits that people are becoming more aware of, there's been disinformation from two different sides on one that I'm finding out from many people that are becoming slowly aware of that.
You can start to see people, too, get really disillusioned with the Internet and sort of see the downfall of the Internet over the next couple of years. Not entirely. We're always going to have it. But just some really unsavory things come out with it, and they're playing on that energy you mentioned before, Age of Aquarius, love and peace, let's all work together. It ties in nicely with that, and the bringing in the return to family values and tradition, but at the same time, it could exploit it. And I just, I, eventually I think it will be exposed, but that we'd be looking at down the road.
Now, there's a thing that you, I know that because you sent me some of the analysis prior to the show just to look over, and you said there was something very significant, and I was looking at it, and you were talking about when you call Uranus, I say Uranus, Jupiter and the Sun travel in the spring solstice of 1928 that had significant things that happened during that time, and this is happening right now, and you had mentioned, I looked at, like, we had where Amelia Earhart was the first woman going across. The same time, you know, then in the same time this happened, there was the home pregnancy test was developed in France. And, of course, then there was the invention of penicillin the same time. But at the same time, we had, there was also a major earthquake in Greece, which wiped out almost, you know, 200,000, I believe, people. And then there was the hurricane, which killed 25,000 people in Florida.
2,500.
Or 2,500, I'm sorry, I apologize. But still, that's, I mean, God, that's...
No, but what you missed the key point there. Jupiter and the Sun have been together in Aries many times before. Jupiter and Aries are together. Jupiter and the Sun are together every 12 years. What makes it significant to 1928 is Uranus being in there. Uranus works on approximately an 84-year cycle. If we look back at 83 years ago, you had Uranus, the Sun, and Jupiter together. There's only one time in 83 years. That's why I went back to 1928. Uranus is the inventor, so I thought it was pretty interesting, the invention of penicillin. That's when it happened. So these are the kind of breakthroughs we can be looking forward to. You know, this quarter, obviously, and then Uranus transits a sign in about 7 years. So over the next 7 years, you're going to see a lot of stuff. Jupiter is only going to be here on the spring solstice. By the time we get to the summer solstice, Jupiter will have moved on into Taurus. So you have this unique energy that was present 83 years ago on the spring solstice, and these are the kind of things that came out of it that year. You know, but what else is important to note, it was a year before the big stock market crash. So even though we're already in an economic downturn, I think, and I hate to say this, it's still going to get worse before it gets better.
So that's sort of, is that because there's a, because I noted in your analysis, there was a, the Pluto effectiveness affecting that?
Yeah, back in 1928, you had another configuration that's consistent with this chart. You had the planets in Aries squaring Pluto. At this time, they're squaring Pluto too. Only in 1928, Pluto was in Cancer, which is, you know, the home of the U.S.'s sun sign. Our sun sign is Cancer, and Pluto was there making radical changes within our country. Now it's opposite that in the sign of Capricorn, so it's opposing our Cancer sun, and it's still squaring the Aries, but being in the sign of Capricorn, tradition, it's changing tradition. It's changing the way we look at the status quo because it's ruled by Saturn, which has a lot to do with status and how we like to be presenting ourselves. And that energy is there once again. So you do have a lot of comparisons to 1928 that you haven't seen in all these years. It's also sort of was when Hitler was starting to make a name for himself in Germany at that time. He didn't come to prominence until Uranus went into Taurus, which is more of a fixed sign, and that's when the dictators became strong. So that'll be something to keep an eye on about 7 years from now, see where we are politically then.
So that could, we can look at around the world. There's what politically, what think people, what that politically can have a significant situation. I mean, there's already an oligarchy dictatorship in Iran, and they're actually starting to rise in power steadily within the Middle East throughout their Shiite configuration of, you know, following for the Hezbollah and their input into Hamas. And now, you know, they're really pretty much in their alliance with Syria. But so but that's already there. So I'm just thinking about where else there could be. Some people even construe some weird stuff happening within the UK itself. That who knows that the Queen of England comes out and says, I'm really the ruler. You guys been fooled. Which, you know, I don't think they'll do that, but it's there. What about, now you said there's like a challenge, though, of corporations as opposed to the economy on this as a Capricorn. And that would be challenge for the status quo of, it seems like that's been going on for the last year, 2 years. But they seem to be keep on being bailed out or taken care of. So are you saying it's being a challenge? It's a challenge from the masses, a reflection of what the corporations more so, or is it just more? We're just going to have more sores on the band-aid, more band-aids on the sores.
I'm not sure I really follow you, and I don't think you really follow me. Pluto in Capricorn, Pluto rules nuclear energy, annihilation. It destroys things, and it rebuilds and gives you something different out of the ashes. Pluto is in the sign of corporations, big money, big banks, ruled by Saturn, which is tradition. That's why you see anything that's traditional, corporate, having to do with big money, big business, going through a huge transformation right now. And it seems like the way the transformation is taking place is through the annihilation of the economy. And that energy is being challenged again by the old guard and the new guard. Pluto can also be a representative of dictatorships. It rules absolute power and control. So where you see the rise of absolute authority, power, dictatorship, they're going to be opposed by many different factions. And sitting quietly underneath all this at the bottom of the chart is the U.S. sun. So the U.S., it might not be making big moves right now, but they're definitely aware of what's going on. And they're waiting to see what's going to happen from these two opposing factions that are, in fact, challenging the absolute power people, if that makes sense. I don't see the U.S. making a big move in the next 3 months, but the U.S. government is definitely aware of what's going on. It just wants to see what's going to happen within the two opposing factions that are at odds with the third faction, which would be the dictatorships.
Right, so it's basically a sitting on the sidelines, both internally as far as watching what's happening and corporately, and as far as overseas looking on the sitting on the sidelines and watching carefully what's happening as far as the challenges and dictatorships and stuff like that, basically, right?
Kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of, could have.
It's all open to interpretation, and I know it's hard for you to follow everything. I try not to get too technical. You have a large mass of energy that's really prominent right now that has to do with radical change, radical new ways. It's occurring in the sign of Aries. As you know, we can say this because we're both Aries, but Aries often look leaps before they look. So you have this new, strong, radical energy coming into a sign that's ready to move on it without perhaps thinking through the consequences. It's directly opposed by those that want to return to tradition, family values, and the old school ways. Even though these two factions are opposed to each other, they're both in direct conflict with the Pluto energy, the dramatic change in corporate America, traditional money, that big business kind of mentality. So you have three separate things that are at odds here. And at odds to all of it is the U.S. So if we look at that as being represented by our government, they're not digging any of it, but they're not going to make a big move, I don't think, within the next 3 months. You're going to see the media make a lot of noise, but I don't think that has any connection to what's actually going on with the government.
So it's basically what they would say, they're going to be at this, what they call status quo, is the old term. You know, as far as any things from the government side and toward other, what you're talking about. What about the issue you also brought up, I think, you know, as far, because now that you're bringing about the media stirring up all kinds of concern and debate about issues, you know, with, and you talked about the Grand Cross and confusion. How does this reflect, let's say, for, you know, legal, publishing, travel, religious and foreign affairs, communication and whatnot? I noticed that in your analysis. How is this? Because it seems like a whole, it's like a whole, you know, it's like a soup with everything in it. And green, it's like a Heinz ketchup. You got everything in there. Can you elaborate of what you're, and this is a retrospect, you were talking about the full moon conjuncts U.S. Neptune opposing the Mars and Pisces and da-da-da. How does that, can you elaborate on that, what you meant by that?
Well, what you have here is the moon, the nodes. The nodes are particularly important parts of the chart. They're not planets, but they're points in the chart that are significant for major implications. The North Node is positive. It rules destiny and where we're supposed to be heading, and it falls in the sign of foreign affairs, long-distance travel, legal issues, educational issues, religion, you could say spirituality, but Sag is more traditional religion. So you're going to have those things, that potpourri of affairs, in direct opposition to the media. The media isn't always going to be perhaps portraying those categories that I mentioned in the most positive light. The full moon tomorrow night can expose some of these things. It's going to be challenged by Mars, which the full moon is going to be challenged by Mars, which is ruling all the new age energy. So again, you're going to see, what would I say, maybe? We keep using the word radical. A radical response to it. So whatever this full moon exposes in terms of foreign affairs, long distance travel, legal, educational, religious and publishing things being brought to light, you're going to see exploited in the media or not portrayed in its true light. And this can affect, because the full moon happens in the house we go to, it's going to be around employment, healthcare, and possibly even the housing market, because the moon rules homes and real estate. So those are areas that can be affected by it.
Huh,
you have to relate. You have to take all the separate energies and relate them together.
Huh.
So take a foreign housing market, foreign employment, legal issues surrounding the housing market and employment and health care, publishing, educational and religious issues that have to do with foreign people, places, and things. You know, it's a blending of energies. And I don't think the meat, and the bottom line is, the point, if anybody takes anything away, is that the media is not playing the most savory role right now.
Okay,
it's up to people to do their independent research, not believe everything they hear and see on TV and the internet, or I hate to say it, the radio.
Yeah. That's what it be. Exactly. You know, it's exactly like when they talk about the health care and they talk about issues of, you know, like, you know, what's the ongoing sort of BS between, you know, in the U.S., for example, it's a right wing versus left wing, the Republican Democrats. Overseas, they have the same BS, you know, liberal versus not conservatism. And then the issues that you talk about, like healthcare or religious things and foreign affairs and, you know, all the stuff that's being told or not really, even by all medias, it's being more or less fabricated or actually exaggerated in a lot of points to get their point of views. And like, maybe that's what you're referring people, you know, let me put it this way. Most media today is really opinions. Everybody's basing their opinions rather than being the old journalism where they go, here's the facts, and you think what you want. Now today when you watch news, it's everybody's got their damn opinion. And we all know what opinions are like, you know, with the old thing they say, everyone's got one and they all smell pretty bad. So,
Well, you also have the internet now where people that don't have to wait to get on the radio or be published in the newspaper to express their opinion. They can start their own website or their own blog site, and they can freely express their opinion. And like you said, if the more ignorant people out there might take it for fact. And it's not to say it's not factual, because I write blogs on the internet. But again, it's my interpretation based on my education and knowledge of the planet. What other people base their opinions on, people really need to research that. What is their background? Where are they coming from? What are their philosophies? Is there merit to their opinions? And the bottom line, like you said, is it is just an opinion or one person's interpretation.
Yeah, because, well, see, I think what's going on that maybe people might get become more aware of is a lot of times people will say a fact, or make a let me put it this way. They'll make a media, like say it's news, and then the news is really not real news because it's based on somebody's opinion, or somebody will say, they'll make some thing that this is a fact, you can look it up, and then when you look up the fact that they say it's a fact, it's really based upon somebody's opinion, or somebody talking about another person's view, and it's never really a fact, but as it goes through all the way down the line, it's been turned from opinion to somehow fact all of a sudden.
It's like that game you play in the fifth grade where you sit in a circle and the teacher starts off by whispering something in somebody's ear, and by the time it gets around the circle, it has nothing to do with the original comment.
Yeah, or it's actually been turned into the comment has been turned to believing that it actually is for real. You know, that, you know, there, you know, I heard Santa Claus flew over the, you know, came into my chimney. The next person, hey, I heard that, you know, he's for real. You know, it becomes from fiction to fact. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's what I think media is turned into. Maybe people become aware that sometimes it's actually more than less. It's been conjured up. And that just, and like you said, it's interesting that you said the internet, because I think internet news, and that's why I keep on saying in my show, I want people to look up the, I did a whole show about disinformation, and there's a lot of disinformation out there, news, and everybody jumps in this hyperbole. I'll give you an example. You know, it's amazing how ignorant people are talking about, like, the earthquake we just had. I grew up and lived in California all my life. Any person who's lived and grown up and raised in L.A., I'm just telling you, knows of the what they call the ring of fire. And then we're sitting on a plate, and we always have earthquakes. And when there's an earthquake on the other side, like the Pacific, Far East side, like Japan, New Zealand, you know, on that side, we know that it's because a plate shift, it's going to affect, now get ready, California, everybody else, it's going to happen. Here's a coincidence on dates. I know, not to bring this up, but there's amazingly, on exact same day, January 17th, 1994, we had the famous Northridge earthquake, which actually, by the way, was an literally a 9.1, by the way, which is a fact, but they actually averaged it out enough to freak out people, and Caltech got freaked out, there. One of their employees got, you know, reprimanded for it because they told the truth. But it was so significant. And then what happens? Exactly the same January 17th, you know, 1995 in Kobe, Kyoto, Japan, they had an earthquake. So there's a ring of fire, and yet these people hypothesize that there's a government involved creating all these earthquakes and conspiracy BS, and I'm going, oh, yeah, right. And these earthquakes happen on these plates all around us, okay? Keeps on happening. And they're making up stuff, you know, and then people fall into these patterns of believing pure BS because they've been triggered with fear and misconstrued opinions with no facts. And this is what I'm finding out more and more on the internet, what you're talking about. And I see more and more people are, some of them becoming aware and some are still falling game to it. But hopefully I think that'll change when people become more aware. I hopefully it won't ruin the internet, but people become more as aware of, you know, not gullible and believing just because it's on the internet, it's true. Which I think most people, a lot of people became like that because they lost trust in the old school media, so they thought the new school media is more truthful. And I'll give you an example. Huffington Post was supposed to be one of the outlaw, you know, when they started it, you know, one of the blog sites. And guess who owns it now? You know, I believe it was Time Warner who bought them out. So,
Time Warner Corporation, big business, old money.
Exactly. So, you know, and now I heard the Saudis are all freaking out over Facebook because on the street they've been using Facebook to actually help out, you know, what's going on with people rising up against the totalitarian and authoritative and the monarchies of what you're talking about. And they're actually trying to put a bid to buy out Facebook to shut up, you know, people. And, of course, so what's his name? We told him to go to hell about it. But didn't
Facebook play a large role in the overturn of that government? So you're seeing social media have an impact on world politics.
Exactly. But exactly. And here's another one which happened several years ago, which I think it started because of the Iranians. The Iranian people were utilizing at the time not Facebook, because Facebook wasn't really as big then. They're using Twitter at the time. And the Twitter was being utilized to help get people together to coordinate and also get the information out what was really going on in Iran. Now Facebook is being utilized, that same thing in Iran, which now Iran is actually coming full circle. Well, they think they're ahead of the game, but it seems like people are becoming more aware. They're actually very, very, people don't realize that of the Middle East, I believe personally, that the Iranians are one of the most sophisticated peoples of the Middle East. So I think, and there's a strive for becoming democratic. They do not want to be under authority. You know, that's old. I think they want to change, like you're talking about, challenge the religious and foreign affairs. I think the same thing is happening significantly in between the Israeli-Palestinian issue, that people are now waking up amongst Palestinians that both Hamas and Pierre are full of it, and that 93 was pure BS, and they wish it was back to the 80s, so where they actually there was no killing or hatred amongst or very little between Jews and Arabs in that in the West Bank. In fact, they lived quite well. So I see that turning around. Possibly, and there's a challenge to, you know, that, you know, everybody seems to be more slowly becoming aware of that they've been being manipulated by both media, but they're utilizing the internet and to opening their eyes and talking to people and people coming more together. Which let me ask you this: how do, because it seems like Facebook is becoming such a main thing of communications. And I see the positive and negatives of that with information. How do you see that coming about because of the systems of the planets that you speak of?
Well, the South Node is just, the South Node is karma. It's what we bring in. It's what we're comfortable with. And it just shifted into Gemini. I believe it was last month or earlier this month. So, the nodes stay in a sign approximately a year and a half, and they're in Gemini, which rules the media, social networking, everything. But again, what is karmic can also be our self-undoing. So it's played a large role, but again, I think my synopsis is simple and to the point. Anything to do with the media can be to our detriment. And I did say at the beginning of the program that we might see the downfall of the internet, not entirely, but over the next year and a half. I don't think it's going to portray events, especially events relating to foreign affairs, travel, education, law, spirituality, and religion. It's not going to be portraying them in the best light. It's also going to impact a lot of other things, but it's going to be, it's in a positive aspect to what we would term maybe the collective conscious. So social networking is still going to be hugely popular, but it's going to have implications that maybe we haven't seen yet.
So there's going to be, so basically it's
I can't put it in a nutshell for you. You like specifics. I can't give you specifics.
I'm trying to get into if it's, there's coming to a head of, because it seems it's coming to a head of one way or the other that through the internet that you're saying is coming to a, you know, major challenge of what it is. Because there also seems to be a challenge from the old school wanting to censor or limit you know, like here the Saudis and the U.S. is trying to deal with, you know, imposing their own way of doing things. And I heard over in the EU were the same, trying to impose some sort of control over the internet so they can control people more. Is that what you're referring to? That they're actually, that's going to possibly, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that
what
you're talking
about? No, that's what you're referring to. I told you my synopsis, and that's your interpretation of it. And that could be applied that way, but I won't commit to that because I don't know enough about the situation. I'm saying anytime anybody tries to use the media or exploit the media over the next year and a half, it's going to be to their detriment, especially if they're foreign people or people of foreign powers. And this full moon tomorrow night is going to significantly expose any deceptions. But again, like I said at the beginning of the program, I don't think we're going to get full disclosures. We'll be told some things, but we're not going to get the full picture.
Can I ask you something regarding the full moon? Like, from my understanding, this full moon is going to be where the moon is going to be closest in, I think, approximately 20 years. Is there a significance to that? I mean, it's coming the closest to Earth as it has been in 20 years. Does that have any astrological aspects to that because of that?
Yeah, it does. It does have an impact. I think it's called perigee. That's not really one of my areas of specialty. There's different views of thought on that. And, yes, it will impact the Earth. What impact it'll have, I don't know.
All right. That's pretty good.
Something pretty good. I don't study, that I don't know as much about. Thank you for exposing that.
The full moon is
always when the moon is opposite the sun. This isn't an eclipse or anything on this full moon like we've had, but it's significant to this chart and a lot of the events you were just rattling on about for a while there. It's relevant to the full moon, and I thought it was pertinent to put it together with the chart because it only happens the day before. Full moons bring things to a head or to fruition. So anything that comes to a head with the full moon is going to directly impact the spring equinox, the vernal equinox.
So, okay, now you mentioned also there's some positive aspects from the nodes to Venus and Neptune and Aquarius and universal love and all that stuff. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I kind of did. That's where you're going to have, you know, the collective consciousness coming together, and it ties right in tight with the USA moon. So it's very pertinent to us and our country, everybody getting along, everybody banding together, everybody working together. But in a way, it forms what's called a grand trine, actually. The Venus-Neptune-USA moon forms a grand trine with the south node, and then again the vernal equinox moon and Saturn. So you have this big thing of universal love, let's all get together, let's be together, but it has to be steeped in family values or some form of tradition. What we're working towards can't be too out there. We want things now, we crave things now that are within our comfort zone or that we can relate to better times. One place this is evident is in, I'm studying design right now, so that's my medium, but one place it's really evident is in home decor right now and furnishings. There's a big return to the look of the 50s, and you'll see this in television commercials where the interiors of homes look a lot like they did somewhere between the 50s and the 70s. It's called mid-century modern. People are reaching out for that familiarity from their past, things that they can look back on, you know, tie it to something they knew in their youth. And that's going to be really strong, at least for the next 3 months.
So it's almost like getting into nostalgic a feeling, a nostalgia, they would call it, like feeling like back how it was during the hippie time. You know, it's amazing that you say that because significantly from my generation, you know, telling how old I am, is from the last of the baby boomers from the so-called hippie era are now, you know, there's a riot, you know, they're going to be the significant majority or pretty far up there in the United States alone. And I noticed from music and things like that, that things are resurfacing from the old school of, you know, back in the day, back in the 70s and 60s, and it seems there's a regurgitation, if you call it that, a refollowing of that sort of mood that you're talking about, which is sort of weird. You know, get together, love, peace. I mean, I see that people talking like that, just even on a Gail, not even realizing it. I see younger people talking like that, and it's sort of funny. I hear them using commas, and I go, wow, that was what we used to say back in the 70s and 60s. So, you know, I damn, that's pretty bizarre, because I see that sort of like, is that sort of like only for the next few 3 months, or is that continuing through a longer period?
Well, you've seen it already. We've talked about it actually on previous shows, a lot of the similar energy that's prevalent from the 60s, and that is brought in through, it was through Saturn, I believe, was opposite the Neptune, and you had a lot of the configurations in the chart. We talked on this on your show, I think it was a couple years ago. You had a lot of the same planetary configurations that you had in the 60s. And I'm right off the top of my head, I'm trying. We had, I know Saturn was in Virgo, and it was opposite Uranus and Pisces. And back in the 60s, Uranus was in Virgo, and Saturn was in Pisces in the mid 1960s. So that energy's been around for a while. It's just there's some really new energy coming in that hasn't been here in 83 years. That's why we're looking back at 1928, because this is the first time this kind of energy has been present since that time.
But you know, it's really that you said about the 1920s, just to elaborate, though, but in the late 1920s, which is also pretty interesting, you talk about, there's the days when, like, Picasso came around, there was the mood of, the party mood of the people, even though they had prohibition. You know, there was what came about during that time was the prominence of, you know, the silent movie era that came out, the Charlie Chaplins of those era. You know, everything was coming out. It was major things that were coming about in media and entertainment, especially in the mood of the people at the time. You know, precursor of the Great Depression, the mood was very highly up. I mean, almost like drunk high, you know, drunk with joy, it seems like, from history, from I've seen and read. But yet there was so many things that was happening in a very highly positive mood at the time. Of course, it was in, you know, had like the carpet pulled from its feet. Do you think there's going to be like the same thing, people up, and then all of a sudden the carpet pulled underneath their feet?
Well, I think there's a strong prevailing mood of optimism, you know, a lot of hope for the future, you know, through change. I just don't think people want the change to be too much out of their comfort zone. If it's change that, again, they can relate to something that they can pull from their childhood or something that's familiar to them. But you're going to see really important big events happening with Uranus and Aries, the inventor and the sign of the pioneer. And until June, you're going to have Jupiter there, which is going to be expanding that and adding to that. So that this next 3 months, which is actually our period of focus, is going to be really significant in terms of breakthroughs, inventions, new ideas, new ways. And then how it carries on, we'll have to see over the summer, because we're going to lose Jupiter to Taurus, which isn't a bad thing, but you're going to have it, and then it's going to be in kind of conflict with the position of the Sun. So we kind of have to be careful what we do with in the next 3 months, how we initiate new ideas, new reforms. You know, we need to be careful how we do that, especially, you know, how it's presented by the media. But I don't believe we have a lot of control over that. Whatever goes on with the media, the press, that's going to take place no matter what. If you give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. That's sort of my take on that with the press.
I got that from that, what you meant by that. And then you said there's the tried and true methods. That's the thing you're talking about, the Saturn retrograde and with the alternate thinking. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Is that what you're talking about?
The alternative thinking is opposed to the traditional ways. it's like people want change, they want something different, but they don't want it to be too far outside their comfort zone. Saturn retrograde is a return to tradition, a return to the status quo, a return next to the moon, a return to family values, taking things from the past, and that's in direct opposition to the New Age energy.
So is that like two steps forward, one step back?
If that's your interpretation, I wouldn't classify it as that at all. But that's from your perspective, because you'd be someone who obviously, I think, wants to embrace change and move forward. So you might look at it like that, but other people might look at it differently.
And how would that?
I think it all depends, you know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or what side of the fence. You know, just like some people view the glass half full or half empty. It all depends on your perspective, where you sit on the side of tradition and upholding the status quo, and someone who doesn't like change, or to someone who wants to not only change things, but do it in a big, dramatic, radical way.
Okay, so I know what you mean. So people who would look at it from an opposite end in a perspective of let's say a conservative way would look at it and says, well, you're having you're going to get changed, but you're going to be shown from their perspective here, it's not really all that good. So we're going back. It's going to be a challenge up here. It's probably wanting to keep down the more conservative, old, traditional ways from that point of view.
Well, both sides favor new things, new ways, maybe doing things by some sort of unconventional means, but it can't be too far outside the box. If it gets too far, both sides, I said, are in agreement with that, but where they run into opposition is one side wants to do it way outside the box, and the other side says, no, let's do it like we did before, or you know, let's do it in some way that we've experienced and are comfortable with.
Well, let me ask you, okay, so anyway, and basically in a nutshell, and I know you're going to be reiterate because you said it already a couple of times, and you know you went through the whole thing in a really quick fashion in your synopsis of everything, more correctly, let's say it called your summation of everything to summarize all of it in a nutshell. Basically, what you would say would from your analysis. And then also, if you could, please reiterate, tell everybody how they can contact you directly and get a excellent, their own excellent analysis and their own natal chart and their own reading.
Okay. So now, a synopsis, real quick. Most important, significant events. Big, shocking changes coming within the next 3 months, especially now. An earthquake in Japan being a good example. It doesn't all have to be negative. Like I said, there can be breakthroughs, new inventions. It can be positive or negative. The earthquake in Japan, negative. Like you said, something positive could come out of it. But big, radical things are happening now. The old guard is wanting change, but not wanting it in that dramatic fashion. They want it in a way that's comfortable and has something to them that they know. Challenging all this is an energy that's coming from dramatic authority, super old school thoughts and beliefs, and that is wreaking havoc with everything, but it's being challenged by both sides. The underlying part that the U.S. plays is just sitting tight right now and kind of waiting to see what's happening, because it's not comfortable with any of the energies that are going on. And these radical changes that are taking place can be taking place anywhere in the world in any form, in terms of weather, politics, communications. And again, the media, social media, continuing to be very popular, but anything to do with the media, the press, the internet, it's going to be our undoing over the next couple of years. Where we have the chance to prosper and make headway is in the areas of education, foreign affairs, long-distance travel, publishing, which is now completely done on the internet. Most of the publishing houses are gone. And in religion, you're going to see religious topics come up, but people are wanting a return to values, so you could see a return to more traditional religions. And tomorrow's full moon's going to make things interesting, where some of these issues all come to a head. But again, I don't think we're going to get the full story or the full disclosure. So it is a lot to absorb. I'm going to have my written report up at zodiacbuzz.com that's basically going to contain most or all of the information we discussed here today. You heard it here first on When Pigs Fly. Hope to have it up by today, tomorrow at the latest, zodiacbuzz.com. You can always email me at Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y, at zodiacbuzz.com. If you want a reading or an analysis, I have a toll-free number. Works anywhere in the world. You can dial out from a toll-free number, 866-395-1340, 866-395-1340. I do all my readings over the phone. If you're going to get an astrology reading, relationship chart, personal profile, forecast, any of my relationship readings come with a free CD. So if you just go to the front page of my website, all the prices are on there. I ask that you prepay, and when you email me, send me your birth information and the date and time you'd like your reading, and just keep in mind that I'm on Pacific Daylight Time. Now, sometimes I get calls in the middle of the night or at obscure hours. I sleep at night just like everybody else, so if you could please call me maybe 9 to 9 Pacific Daylight Time, I'd appreciate that, and we can go from there. So thank you, Andy, for having me on your show. It's always a great debate. Yeah, you're my analysis and your interpretation thereof.
Well, we all have our own interpretation, like we all have our opinions, right? Anyway, I want to thank you once again for coming on the show. It's been an honor to have you, and I know there's been significant stuff that you had talked about. This will go on to hopefully in the archive sometime this weekend, so those who have missed it, again, I reiterate that you should definitely go to zodiacbuzz.com, and she will have her detailed analysis. You can reread what the analysis is, and you can always reflect on that back to my show on our conversation. And then even better yet, if you have questions, and possibly then you can see that maybe, hey, you know what, I'll go get a reading or go get a natal chart done. I highly recommend it. I'm not saying it just for saying it. It is what it is. She's been very, very accurate. And, you know, it's always best to know what's in front of you than instead of walking sort of without the light knowing what's in front of you. So with that, again, Kerry, I want to thank you for coming on my show. And
thank
I want to thank... And I want to thank all those out there who are listening and will be listening. Thank you for listening, and wish everybody a glorious and magnificent weekend. God bless you all. And again, my thoughts and prayers go out to those who are deeply affected by not just the earthquake in Japan, which is significant, but also those out there in New Zealand as well that were affected to the earthquake as well. God bless you all, and have a great and glorious week. Thank you.